I am at your whatever.
Careful.
I wasn't quite sure what plenary meant, but now I'm finding out. It means a solo act. I didn't know that. Anyway, we'll see what happens. This is all new to me. Yes, please.
Do you want some mic? Could you come up to the mic? I thought you would say that, Martin. Thank you so much.
So I'm from Group 4. Go Group 4. We have a great group. We have some great conversations. So first, my behalf, but also I'm sure on the
speak
group's
into
behalf.
The mic, Paul.
Speak into the microphone. Okay, very good. First, I want to say thank you for not being a cardboard cutout, humbling yourself to share the joys and the struggles you have with yourself and your family. Help us realize that we all have the same struggles and joys and pains, and sharing and learning from each other is the way to go. The question, it's not my question, so I hope I ask it properly on behalf of the group, is even though we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, how does our church, when we show up,
yes, we are definitely to take those words individually, but he also wrote them to the church in Ephesus, right? So as a church in Ephesus, to put on the armor of God, right? And he speaks about truth. So as a church, speak the truth. As a church, be all about righteousness. As a church, be all about peace. As a church, be all about faith. As a church, so it's as a church. And of course, that whole, the sword of the Spirit, right? The word of God. So as a church, again, if we're just teaching ideas and thoughts and contemporary attitudes, well, what's that? Teaching the truth is the only place you're going to get it, is there. So there's a real vital part there is to help me understand how to approach work. I was with a men's group just about a month and a half back in Collingwood at the Scott Mission Camp, and I said to the men at that camp, what would you hear if a preacher said to you, okay, I want you to go and share the gospel in your workplace 9 to 5. What would that say to you? And one gentleman said, what that would say to me is, you want me to lose my job, right? And so I said, why? Because he said, well, if I start talking about, I said, I never mentioned talking about. The whole idea was, how do I share my faith? So how do I live my faith, my convictions in the 9 to 5? So a big part of Sunday morning, I believe with all my heart, is helping people translate what I'm hearing into how I'm going to live tomorrow morning, right? That's a big part. I know you know all this. First thoughts come into my mind. The second part, though, I think was equally important, relates to the praise, the worship. Because, again, we are actually strengthened in praise and worship. Right, because our focus, again, is on the mighty one, not upon the mighty problems that we face in life. Our focus is on, and so we leave that place inspired, right? And the marvelous thing, it happens frequently, I'm sure I'm not the only one, that when you wake up in the morning, it's not the alarm clock that's driving you nuts. What's blessing you instead is the song you heard yesterday morning at church, and it stayed with you. And as you're shaving or in the shower, you find yourself either out loud or quietly singing that hymn or that song, right? And as you're going through your day, and when troubles come your way, it's just all there. So you're actually learning what it means to praise and worship God in the workplace, in the car, all that stuff. So I think the praise and the worship is huge. The teaching of the word is ultimate. And of course, the other obvious one, I think it's equally obvious, is fellowship. I mean, the iron sharpens iron thing. And so I believe Sunday morning and any other opportunity to gather is a time for discipleship. And I am so blessed as I think of in my life, people present and people who've gone ahead of me, who continue to inspire me by their example. And I almost say, when I grow up, I want to be like, right? And I still have many people who are shining stars for me that just, I couldn't find a fault in them if I tried. Just their humility, their example, their faithfulness. So church, I have one dear friend, then I'm going to shut up. One dear friend, and he is a dear friend. I've known him since he was 16. I love him with all my heart. I don't question his faith in Christ one bit. I have no reason to. There's no church in his life. In fact, when he got his new house, he invited me over to see his new house. And then he took me down to show me his church. His church is a room in his own house with a guitar and a music stand and some CDs. He does church by himself, right? And I had to kind of break the news to him. I said, Willie, this is great, but this isn't church. You know, you need men and women in your life the same way I need. We need each other, right? So it hasn't worked for him yet. But I long for the day when he discovers church is much more than putting a CD on and playing the guitar by yourself. Yeah. Is that the only question this morning?
You sound too hopeful. But it's also about communicating about what we've learned from our groups too.
Oh, thank you. Good, I'm happy to hear that. This is also about communicating back what we heard from our group, so that's terrific. I'm all ears.
Well, I just wanted to share something that's more personal than from my group. And that was, as a part of the steering committee, as the weekend was coming together, we faced challenges. And you talked this morning again about the forces that come against us. And I said to Alan, our chairman, earlier today, that it was obvious that Bruce was supposed to be the speaker this weekend. It was obvious that the announcements that would normally have taken place during that time this morning needed to disappear so that Bruce could have as much time as he had for his address this morning. This is God's weekend. Praise Him.
Okay, in our group discussion, something that we shared with each other is one or two things that we emphasized is we believe that Jesus chose fishermen for a particular reason. They are people with determination. They cast their nets, and if they don't catch the fish, they go into the deep sea. They wouldn't come home until they get the fish. That's their livelihood. So we all kind of understood that the concept of Jesus choosing fishermen was that. And also, we as Christians, sometimes we go to church. We go to church on Sundays. And sometimes it is hard. We have to understand. We think everything is going well and we are living a Christful life. Like Jesus said to the person with the demon, hold and behold, sometimes we will be, Jesus will talk to us and say, I will get the demon out of you because of our ego, because of our uppishness, and we are not humble. So sometimes in church, you might feel that way. And as Christians, we have to be ready to receive Jesus into our lives. And in return, Jesus will take the demon out of us, but we will not go into conversions or we're not going to fall on the ground or make noises, but in our hearts, He will take the demon out of us. That's our understanding.
Well, we know Jesus is all about liberation, regardless of what it is we must be liberated from, whether it's an actual demon. We mustn't doubt that reality. Demons are demons. One third of the angels decided to sign up with somebody else. So, but also there are many issues in our own life that are simply broken and need healing, and things that creep into our lives that don't belong there. There's an interesting little reference in the psalm to something called presumptuous sin. And when I came across that, I understood exactly what it was all about, because in my life, I have presumptuous sins. And as I understand it, maybe this might ring a bell with someone else, I don't know, There are things that say to me, yes, I know now you're a Christian, Bruce, but come on, we've been friends for a long time. And I know that, you know the difference of right and wrong and all that, but every once in a while, you know, I mean, what harm can this possibly do? And it's just a little thing. I mean, if your faith is likened to a house, I mean, you've given Jesus the key to almost every door in the place. What's wrong with just keeping this one, right? That's a presumptuous sin that dares to say, even though I know that you're all about Jesus now, there's still this little kind of a hobby of imagination that once in a while, I'll just sort of flee to and hide and play around in for a while. And that's what presumptuous sin, as I understand, is all about. And the marvelous thing is to get to a place where we say, how dare you presume you have any place in my life whatsoever, because I have been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself anymore. The very blood of Christ has bought me back. Toodaloo, see you never. Yeah. Right? So that also takes place. Jesus deals with our presumptuous sins and things that we might not even be aware of. We haven't recognized for what they are. It's that experience of him gently pointing out to us, this must go if you're going to get serious with what it means to grow. This has to go. And no matter how comfortable and how by the way it may seem, how insignificant it may try to appear, here's what I do know. That if we don't deal ruthlessly with sin, sin will deal ruthlessly with us. And so we want to thank Jesus for those uncomfortable times when he graciously points out to us, this has got to go. This is slowing you down. This is taking you backwards. This is getting in the way. What are you going to do about that? I'm going to renounce that, Jesus, right? And then he delivers us from it. But yeah, same kind of thing about those fishermen you mentioned. It's about having a faith that is a determined faith and having a hope that is stubborn as a goat, right? So may our lives be marked by determined faith and stubborn hope.
Yeah. Bruce, we combined number four, which is anticipating conversions, with number five, the armor of God. And what we were talking about is we are really anticipating what you're going to tell us, hopefully soon, on and how we get measured up for it, okay?
Good. You're right. So your dreams will come true after lunch. But there's it's an obvious connection, but it's a really good connection you've made with anticipating conversion and the armor of God, because it actually is a battle. And part of the battle is simply the battle to believe that anyone will come to a saving faith in Christ. And I remember being a part of a church down east, and a dear lady, she worked for Huntley Street at the time, she said, Bruce, when's the last time anybody got converted here? And I said, I don't even remember. And that was a real sad thing to say. I don't even remember the last time. And that church, it is a wonderful church, still is. That church was pretty much known as the bastion of being an evangelical church in the area. But I think of, we couldn't remember, we didn't know. Maybe somebody had, but we didn't know. We're not, you know, as if we know everything. We don't know everything. But it wasn't obvious to us. So you can get to a place where you don't anticipate because you're not willing to fight and in prayer for it. So that's a big part of it. I think it'll be marked by our willingness to believe and to battle on and to press on despite all odds. So yeah, there's a real connection there. Well done. Anybody else?
That's a little, John. No, that's fine. John Anderson, Group 6. Maybe you could speak to the anticipated conversion, but as it relates to the Anglican since birth, the person sitting in the pew who that maybe even comes every Sunday, but still needs to be converted. And your experience in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, sure, I'll get in trouble. Yeah. I mean, that's I might take too long on this. I'll be really careful. Here's what I'll say, is when I was converted, almost my first desire was to get out of the Anglican Church. And it was really because I was ticked off. I thought to myself, how come nobody told me this? How come nobody told me this? Why is it I had to sit in a meeting and hear a Baptist minister? It's true. I was thrilled. The wonderful P.S. I'm really grateful. I don't even know who that Baptist minister was because I might have idolized, you know. I don't know his name. I can't even see his face. But I remember what he said. And he preached on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, just your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what he preached on. And that preaching of that verse changed my life. But I wanted to get out. And the reason I wanted to get out was I just thought, what's with this Anglican Church, right? And the marvelous thing was down in Spadina and Bloor in Toronto, when I was just this close to jumping ship, when it was one of those grace-filled moments. I never know when they might happen, but they happen occasionally, not as often as I'd like perhaps, when you just know God is speaking to you. And the word was, Bruce, this is your mission field. So ever since then, I've had this contentment of being a minister of some kind in the Anglican Church with the sole purpose of really being an evangelist, right?
Brilliant.
Right? So you have this holy discontent you're referring to because you long for people who've been there forever, right, to come alive. I mean, people I made reference to this morning in my family, I mean, that sister I made reference to, she was there. That's all she knew until she rolled out of bed and landed in a Missionary Alliance church. My other sister, older sister, who's as sweet as pie, she recently came to Christ in the last 2.5 years. In fact, actually, it was 3 years this month she came to Christ. But she was raised Anglican. That's all she knew. And as she had her daughters baptized Anglican, that's all they don't go anywhere now. But my sister said to me 3 years ago this month, if I'd known you were preaching in Victoria, I would have gone to hear you. And I said, well, you don't want to go hear me, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if you went to that place anyway. Where was it? It was a Baptist church. And she went the next Sunday with her husband, and they both came to Christ on that Sunday morning. But now they're back in an Anglican church, interesting enough, driving the people crazy with their... You don't mean to, but there's a life there that wasn't there before in her, right? So I'm not sure how I'm answering except to say I think we should never presume that the people we are preaching to are converted. That's for one thing. And the second thing is we should long and pray for and do all we can to give opportunity, clear gospel opportunity. Remember last year and a half ago, just doing this thing in the church where I'm at called for lunch, laughter, and so much more for seniors and those who wish they were. Kind of a long title. But really all it was Alpha, right? I kind of hid that. So we had about 30 seniors come, and I will tell you that I know, without any exaggeration, a good bunch of those faithful Anglican people came because they love coming out for lunch. And they also love each other, which is great. And they love fellowship. But what became very evident in the discussion time, it wasn't odd to hear the word karma. And it wasn't odd to hear a guy talking about reincarnation. But he'll be there every Sunday. So that there was a desperate need to present the simple gospel to people and to keep on presenting it. So I would just encourage you and me and all of us here to make that a big part of our ongoing cycle of focus. mean, when Paul writes to Timothy, I'm going to shut up now. I know it's lunchtime. Paul says, about all scripture being inspired by God. He says, why? To read this? So the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the three things there are salvation, sanctification, and service, right? And so in all of my planning, where I serve, I try to always keep a ball in the air regarding salvation opportunity, and always keeping a ball in the air about people going further and deeper with Christ, and always keeping one in the air about service people, a chance to roll up your sleeves and serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I always want to make sure that every week, somewhere in there, someone will be able to hear and understand the gospel for the first time, or somebody will go deeper with Christ, or someone can serve the Lord in a brand new way. Salvation, sanctification, and service. So, yeah, thank you for that.